You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 13th, 2014, and get ready for the most boring episode ever.
Podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It's a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. New listeners, every week we take a topic, sometimes a specific game, concept floating around related to video games, at least tangentially. We try to do our homework
here. Yes, we'll invest a little bit of time.
Yeah, and then we have a conversation about it. Focus conversation to explore some of the nuances of it. And what better topic to incorporate nuance than simulation.
Tell me how
to start up this Harrier jet.
Well, first, you know, you've got like 50 buttons. Yeah. You gotta read the manual.
Put so some sure Kenny Loggins yeah, on the tape deck.
Tunes. If it's the 60s, you gotta give a firm but gentle pat on the butt of the stewardess.
Oh, nice. So, oh, okay.
Are we flying a plane sim?
Well, yeah, but I thought I was talking about like a Harrier jet, and I thought you were gonna say a firm but like, you know, gentle pat on Tom Cruise's butt. And well, I was like, well, I'm behind that too.
As the case may be.
This week we're gonna talk a little bit about simulator games. We were inspired by the recent announcement of Farm Simulator 15.
Yeah. There's been some buzz about it for some reason.
There's some buzz saws about it.
Oh, I see what you did there.
There's been kind of a, almost a facetious fascination with these sim games.
Yeah, people are excited to log in some hours.
Oh, jeez.
This will be the pun episode, by the way.
But it raises a larger question about sims in general, and also just simulating real world actions in video games and what that means to us.
I think there's the mundanity of it all, right? Yeah. Like, I am struck when I see a simulation game, like a simulator game, I think like most people, I'm at awe at the idea that anyone would spend a large portion of their time playing this type of game. Yeah. Why would you do that? Like, there are people in this world who love farming, right? We call them farmers.
Well, some of them hate it.
Some of them, right? Like, I grew up on a farm. Yeah. I'm not itching to do that on my downtime, right?
Yeah.
So what percentage of people who are actually farmers have any... I really regret that we are recording this before we get the chance to do this experiment.
Yeah.
But I want to put a real-life farmer in front of Farm Simulator and say, hey, what do you think about this game? 10 out of 10?
Yeah, interesting. So we'll use that to go into kind of our simulation history, I think. Because, I mean, let's just put it out there. I've never played any of these simulator games. I played Goat Simulator.
Okay, that's true. Goat Simulator?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an important reference though, right? Because Goat Simulator is playing into the tedium of it.
Yeah.
You go, why would I ever play Goat Simulator? Oh, it's because it's a ludicrous broken game, right? Didn't they recently succeed in kickstarting Rock Simulator?
I believe so, yeah.
Like, what is this world coming to? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, okay, I presume Rock Simulator is going to be, you know, oh, there's all these hidden secrets. Like, if you rub the rock a certain way, it becomes this larger rock or something, right?
Or maybe the actual hidden secret is that nothing happens and it's a rock.
Yeah, that would be...
Or maybe you can slowly erode the rock by putting in a stream, but you have to leave your computer running for literally years.
They had that game, didn't they? They just came out with that mountain game.
Yeah, the mountain, yeah. Which is... Well, that's the question. Like, is that even a simulator? Because, like, are you simulating a mountain? Or are you just looking at a piece of art?
Well, you're simulating a mountain in the sense that how do you interact with mountains? You just look at them. I guess you can climb them.
Yeah, you can live on them. Like, I mean,
is that interacting? You're just on a mountain. I don't know if that's interacting with a mountain.
I guess so. But, I mean, how close have you ever gotten to a sim game?
So the closest I've ever gotten was actually going to my friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend got them this game as a joke, and it is like Japan Railway Simulator, and all you do, there's only one way you can interact with the train, and that is to tell it whether to go or to stop. And other than that, it is a full FMV tour of Japanese railways.
Can you be late by accident and not push the button on time?
I don't think so, because all the game really is just watching a video.
Yeah.
Like, attach a fucking GoPro to the front of the train. Yeah. That is what the train simulator is. I mean, there's the realistic windows. Mm-hmm. You're passing, like, actual Japanese neighborhoods.
Because there is train simulator.
Like, is that...
It's part of the official simulator series, you know, the brand name simulator.
Isn't that, at this point, you're just... I mean, unless there's some major disaster, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what's that recent movie with, there's like a train, oh my god, the train is coming. There's like Chris Evans or some shit, some boring actors.
Is this like Speed, but a train?
Yeah, it's like Speed, but a train. Doesn't matter, right? Unless there's like Russian forces ahead and you've got a deadline, or like, unless it's Snowpiercer, right?
Right.
Where there's actually like an allegory for class struggles. Yeah. What are you really playing other than Train Passenger Simulator?
Well, as I have actually watched people play Train Simulator, and it's more of like operating the train, like making sure that you throttle up at the right points. If you have to like brake when you're coming into stations, like,
so it's about efficiency.
Yeah, it's about actually, it is trying to simulate what it means to be a train conductor.
And what is that? But like, is it, does that provide insight in your mind to the actual real world struggles of a train operator? Like, is being a train operator actually a thrilling, engaging, life or death experience? Well, like, is it really groundbreaking?
I mean, I'll say this. It's way more life and death than my job.
Well, yeah.
But
I'm not trying to play like a George Community Manager and Simulator 2015.
Yeah, I know, like Spreadsheet Simulator 2014. Yeah. I can hook you up.
Yeah,
like,
most of my job is going into meetings. Like, simulating that would be a disaster.
I'm pretty sure that's just like PlayStation Home.
Yeah, dude, I have dreams where I'm going into meetings, and it's basically a nightmare.
But I mean, going back to the train, like a train is a job that is actually way more thrilling and dangerous than most jobs out there.
Sure.
Like, if you throttle up too hard on a turn, like, people will die. Like, for sure.
Okay, like, sure, 100%. Yeah. Yesterday, while playing a video game, Scott, I was a cat person that jumped over trees and murdered people.
Yeah, like, but that's not a real thing. Like, you're not simulating anything.
So, but okay, then that's my question then, right? What is the value of simulating the real world in cases in which it's such an insular experience? Like, I think there's an important difference here between simulating the control of a train and simulating the management of a large train system. So, for example,
if you want Train Manager 2014,
well, I mean, yeah, that's not exactly
they have Football Manager.
Like, exactly, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, I still think that's boring as hell. Yeah, but my point being is, like, there's enough interesting systems and competitions happening at that higher level that I think maybe would be valuable, or I could see the joy in playing that type of experience, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, there's a board game called Ticket to Ride, right? Ticket to Ride is about trains in Europe or America or wherever, whatever expansion you happen to have for Ticket to Ride. You just lay trains, and that's the board game, right? Sounds terribly boring. It's not, because it's actually competitive, and what the game is really modeling is a sort of the sort of corporate competition between monopolies that was happening, you know, during the laying of a railroad. That's sort of what is happening there.
All right, yeah.
That's an interesting story to tell, right? That's a temporarily fun experience. But unless you're at this high level systems experience of it, aren't you just really simulating a lot of sort of mundane tasks? I realize now I probably sound like a raging asshole. Like, I'm sorry for people out there who love these types of games.
Train Conductors Union. Well, no, but I think here's the thing. Here's why I could... I mean, I like you, I don't play these games. I'm not hugely interested in them, but every time I even get close, like, for example, MechWarrior 2, which is, like, barely a sim, but it's sim-ish enough where you're like, I have to vent heat exhaust, and I have to make sure that I'm engaging the targeting reticle first and then firing. Like, it's not an arcade, like, you push a button. It's not a one-to-one experience.
Yeah.
I've only, like, you know, it's stuff like that. It's stuff like TIE Fighter, stuff like MechWarrior. That's the closest I usually ever get to that sort of thing. But I think it's not... I mean, is it really so much different than a racing game or a fighting game where you are operating... Like, you get an insight as to what it might be like to operate on the highest level of this type of action.
Yeah, but there's the competitive elements of racing and fighting. Like, if it were a fighting game where all you're doing is punching a bag...
Mm-hmm.
Or if it were a racing game where it's just you going along the track, like speedruns, for example. Mm-hmm. Speedruns in a racing game are often built in.
Yeah.
But even then, I guess you know, oftentimes they increase the excitement by putting a ghost on the track.
Yeah.
So you could see what your previous lap was.
Uh-huh.
And in that sense, it creates a competitive environment, right?
Mm.
Whereas if you're operating a train, the only thing you're fighting against is your own tendency to fall asleep at the head of the train.
But what if I frame it like this? Every time you take a train, you are participating latently in someone's like speed run, because they have to leave at X time and they have to arrive at Y time.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, trust me, right? I respect train car drivers because I can take the commuter train yeah. every day to work, right?
Right.
If a train is late or I see people struggling to get back on schedule, more power to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that, but...
But, like, is that not the competition in the game, then? Where, like, Train Simulator, like... Or, like, I see this a lot when people play, like, Euro Truck Simulator. It's
yeah,
like,
Euro Truck
I
Simulator.
Need to get from Leeds to London in X number of hours and pick up this thing, or else, you know, my shipment will be delayed or something.
And then I can't feed my kids. I'm just trying to see my kid again.
Yeah, it's like they loop cart life into it.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think that's the... I think that is, like, the larger... Isn't that the larger challenge that you're looking for? Like... Having some other goal, basically. Like, it's not just aimlessly. I guess you could do free roam mode or something, but
you're
like,
just driving a truck around
the open road, man. Just you and your truck. Just you and your cab.
Hitting the old road.
The old virtual road.
Living the 70s again.
The pixel highway.
Ain't got no home. Some call me a vagabond.
Some home directory.
Ooh, truck stop. Is that a hitch spot on the side of there? I mean, I can see. You know, I can see that being the challenge, like setting up your own challenge.
Yeah. Or just you get an assignment. It's like a mission based. It's basically being a trucker is basically playing. Oh man, here we go. All right, here we go.
Yeah, please, Scott.
Here we go.
What is the trucking life like?
Yeah,
Dad?
Let me tell you about life in the convoy. Being a trucker. It is very much like an MMO.
Yeah, it is not the rockstar life you all think it to be, okay?
There are gold farmers. So, I mean, but, like, you're given an assignment.
Yeah, get from Nevada Southern California.
But in the middle, you have pick up these things.
And your back hurts.
Pick up X number, like, pallets worth of rat tails and deliver it to, like, the LA port or something. Like, it's basically the same... You know, the same stuff we do in a lot of video games, where it's like you have a starting point, you have some task to finish by the time you reach the ending point, and then it ends and you're evaluated on the efficiency of, you know, your completion of the task.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you get down to like the minute levels of efficiency,
mm-hmm.
that's where I think you start to lose me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're talking about, I understand how the basic challenge could be enticing,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, oh man, I got to get to Las Vegas in under, you know, 6 hours, and, like, and I'm already an hour behind.
Smokey's on your six, and like,
you're well, just... but yeah, I mean, what are the stakes here?
right?
Like, what happens if I miss my route? Am I just oops? I'm not as good as other random 12 strangers online also playing this game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and is my efficiency being measured in like the seconds and the minutes? Like, is it how much of it is the game going to make me feel like I've accomplished something when I'm done?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they are, obviously there's missions, but I think the real hardcore people, and I've listened to people talk about flight simulators where they spend hours like in doing real time flight paths. Like, oh, I did the JFK to Heathrow route.
Yeah.
And I'd never done it at night. And it was like a big accomplishment because that's the first time I did it.
Okay. Well, this brings up some good theories I have.
Yeah.
For it. All right. Here are just a couple of theories that why I think people play simulator games.
Okay.
One, they're trying to be ironic. They think it's funny, like, to tell their friends.
That's why jerks like us play simulators.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Two, the disaster scenarios, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do people play Euro Truck Simulator? Because if they get into an outlandish situation
mm-hmm.
where they just, like, ran over some poor Amish family on mm-hmm. the road, like, they're going to laugh about it and tell their friends.
Yeah.
Right? Or, oh my god, I got stuck in mud and, like, had to play this stupid game for 6 hours.
Yep.
Very much related to irony.
Yeah.
My other theory is that it's by people who, at the end of the day, want to be able to tell themselves, I could do this in real life. Mm. I could be a trucker.
Right.
I could fly a plane.
Right.
I could be a farmer.
Right.
And this is the closest thing they can get to convincing themselves that had they made different life decisions, that's the life they could lead. I mean, it's sort of entertaining the idea, and this is where I'm really going to be forced to eat my own words, mm-hmm. but this is where I think the idea of almost like a voyeuristic pleasure in a simulation, which is the illusion that games can give you of a life differently led, right?
Like, I mean, I don't think there's any question of that. Like, I think I listen to the Gamers with Jobs podcast really regularly, and Julian Murdoch,
Rabbit Murdoch,
yeah, Rabbit. He has epileptic seizures sometimes, and when that manifested in his life, he could no longer fly. Like, he actually used to train. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Ugh, that's terrible.
Yeah, and like, he has to be really careful. Like, I don't even know if he drives, because like, there is the possibility that he could have a seizure while he's driving. And so flight sims do exactly that. Like, it's like, oh, I can't do this anymore, but I have the kind of, I have the knowledge and I have the interest and I have the skills, but this just removes, you know, it removes the danger of, I, you know, society says and I say that I should not be allowed to fly a plane because I might hurt somebody.
That's a pretty unique case, though.
It is, but it's the extreme case of, like, I'll never, my life choices are such that I'll never be a train conductor.
Yeah.
And so maybe it is.
Well, you don't know that. Well, never say never. Yeah, it's like, you're still young. You can do it, Scott.
I'll go back to conductor school. I mean, like, that's, but I probably won't. You know, that's another...
I've been meaning to talk to you about why you wear those overalls all the time anyway.
They're comfy, too. And this little whistle. I mean, I think there's nothing necessarily wrong with wanting to kind of live out that fantasy in a way that is not very expensive or damaging.
I mean, again, I don't mean to talk a lot of shit while I'm talking this shit.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... You know, I think back to some of the other things that I've enjoyed in games, right? And one that I can't help but think about is Harvest Moon, right? Why do I like Harvest Moon? I mean,
I'm asking.
No, why really, though. What is my enjoyment? I can't stop playing it. There's something about lowering the stakes in games that I think is really rewarding, right? Like, we're used to, oh my god, I'm Commander Shepard, I have to save the day of the galaxy. There's people trying to change other people into robots, right? Like, there's all sorts of...
Robot Simulator 2015.
There's all sorts of grand adventures in which everything that I do matters to this huge upteenth degree. And that's just not what life is really like. Life, in fact, is much more about more mundane struggles, like not yelling at my coworkers for their idiocy or something like that. I hope they're not listening. Or it might be something along the lines of, you know, dealing with the interpersonal relationships or the basic efficiencies of packing your luggage for a train flight or train flight. Or navigating the grocery store, right, with your cart.
Ugh.
Without
Speaking
letting
of cart life.
Yeah, without letting people hear you make sounds, you know, like you're playing Mario Kart or something. Yeah. So, you know, I could see toning that down. It's rewarding because it lets you play out what might be your regular life in a way that allows for errors and allows for, you know, testing the waters and trying out different things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I like Harvest Moon because it feels like in a 5-hour session, I can make progress in a life and feel like I've accomplished something in a way that, I mean, now this sounds really depressing, but in a way that, like, the modern civilization isn't built for that consistent feeling
you're
of creation and reward.
You're actually make something rather than produce content.
And I'm making nothing, right? I'm like, that is
There's
one aspect.
Of
that enjoying that fantasy, indulging in the joy of simple mundanities.
Yeah.
And this is true in real life, right? Like, I enjoy gardening. I really enjoy cooking. I love cooking. I don't play cooking games, but I could
play Cooking Mama.
I should play Cooking Mama, but I could see why people enjoy cooking games because it's a mundane task to chop an onion, right?
Yeah,
but when you make everything and put it together, the end product is something that is like transcendent and really rewarding, partially because it's just a small task. So I could see getting the enjoyment out of something like Farming Simulator if that's what you're seeking, right?
Yeah.
But I guess the weird thing to me, though, and my alternate response is that Harvest Moon abstracts so many of the little details. It removes the actual mundanities of the mundane.
I was just going to say that, because like your cooking analogy, it's like, even in that analogy, the thing that you, I don't know if this is true, but the thing that you conveyed as your reward is the dish, not the satisfaction of precisely cutting an onion.
Yes, I mean, you're totally true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that I can cut
but
an onion well.
But I think that's why you don't like the idea of the simulators, because simulators are about cutting the onion, not eating the dish.
In fact, this is a perfect example, right? Like, I'm not really into baking. I'm not really into baking because baking is a very precise science that there's no room for error. Like, you have to put everything together in the exact precise way, and then you're done. Cooking, to me, is so much more interactive. I can play around with it. I can tweak it. I can taste it and add things to it. It's like a constant creative process, whereas baking is not. And to me, playing something like Farming Simulator is that locked down, very precise moment because you're, and again, I haven't played Farming Simulator. I could be terribly wrong. Who knows? But Harvest Moon is like, I'm going to make the things that matter, making friends, you know, exploring relationships with other people and just making a small little place of land for yourself. That's the core idea of Harvest Moon. Not how many parts of my rototiller do I have in stock so I can fix this, you know, engine problem.
I mean, that's the thing that, like, I've watched a fair amount of, like, the Giant Bomb guys. A few of them are really into, or at least into the idea of shooting video footage of, like, these military flight simulators where, like, you take a Harrier jet off. But, like, to even get the Harrier jet off the ground is, like, a multi-step process where it's, like, if you don't turn on the right thrusters first, you'll just stall out and your plane will just be dead on the tracks. And so, I mean, it's, that's about chopping the onion. You know, that's about, like, precisely
Can we make this a term now, by the way? Chopping the onion?
Yeah, chopping the onion or, like, enjoying the dish. Like, those are two separate things. Yeah. They're both related, but some people enjoy one part for the sake of the chop rather than the end result of the dish.
Yeah, they like it so much it brings tears to their eyes.
I mean, like, seeing all of, like, those little switches and dials, I mean, there's something, like, you can at least abstractly appreciate the mastery that you need to, you know, properly fly that thing.
And that's why I enjoy and respect the idea of people who do it as a real profession, right? But again, it's this fascination with simulators as a whole that I think is kind of in a weird zeitgeist right now. Like, people who don't play sim games are suddenly finding them fascinating. I think predominantly ironically.
But I think
there's also this genuine interest of, like, why do people enjoy this? And I don't know, maybe it breaks down to the same thing of why would anybody enjoy it, period? Like, why do people choose to spend their life flying planes? Is it just for that one majestic view, or is it the act of flying a plane they like? Like, I loved trains as a kid, and I wanted, like, an underground train set. I would never have become, in a million years, a train conductor. Like, the idea of somebody choosing that as their life and falling into that is fascinating, I think. You know, like, it's one thing I wrote down in my notes was that while I might dislike the mundanity of that sort of industrial labor, I still love watching how it's made videos. Like, we watched one of the Farming Simulator trailers.
They were showing, like, the tree, like, the logger or whatever.
Yeah, the thing is, it's a monster. It's it is a modern industrial marvel.
Stripping branches
off the thing. It churns out, it takes something from beautiful organic nature into just a symbol of death and modern destruction, and turns it into this, like, violent art form, right? Like,
Andrew Ryan calls it progress.
It's an amazing destructive piece of machinery. So it's fascinating to see that work out in progress, right? Like, so I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is there's all these little parts that I enjoy, but it's the whole that still weirds me out and fascinates me. It's like, why would anybody play this game?
So, I mean, going off on that, down that road, I actually was thinking about this where, and we're going to come back to this theme time and time again, but, like, do you think, how much do you think the current popularity and interest in video and streaming plays into this?
Oh, huge. But again, because it's those funny moments, right? Like, it's kind of like when you read the Guinness Book of World Records or, like, a freak show, right? It's like, you read these things about some guy who's like, oh, I've eaten the most chicken McNuggets.
Right.
And by the way, one of my coworkers has the world's record for the most McDonald's chicken McNuggets eaten in under, like, 3 minutes.
He's like, he's the Nug King?
He's the Nug King, yeah. He also sells marijuana, so.
Does he have to defend it occasionally?
I think he only recently achieved it, maybe like a year ago. I don't know if he still has the title.
Does he train?
Dude, that many people give a shit about, I feel like only children care about world records anymore.
I haven't played competitive food eating simulator since 2014, know, but.
That's a great simulator idea.
But it's not mechanical. Like, it's,
well, you can make it mechanical. Like, you've got to consider moisture levels in your mouth. You know, did you eat the night before?
But that's, I mean, I think that's why the simulator, it's hard to make like athletic games that are simulations, because mm-hmm. the human body is very hard to simulate. Right. Whereas a process, a binary process of flipping a switch, or even a process that's on a spectrum, like what angle your backhoe is at, you know, like, I mean, even that is measurable, mm-hmm. where like the will to jump higher is more difficult.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah.
But okay, so going back to the idea of like watching streaming stuff. Right? Is it okay? Hear me out. Is it that different from watching an actual truck driver?
Well, I think going back to what you said, there's a meta element to it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's take the most extreme example. If you're gonna watch someone like PewDiePie or someone like watch, like, you are watching it for an entertainment value rather than a how stuff is made value.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, he just happens to be driving a truck. He could be sitting.
But it's funny because he's driving a truck. Like, that's where the humor comes in, because you're doing something banal, but also you're a wacky personality.
Yeah,
at
he's
the same time.
He's goofing off about it. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I get that.
But I feel like that's less absurdly funny than playing Saints Row or something, because yes, that game absolutely. Is also wacky, and so being wacky while playing that wacky game is inherently less amusing.
Right. He's not being authentic with his play of Truck Simulator.
Or maybe
right?
he is, and that's why it's funny. It's a fish out of water type of joke, you know.
I guess, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Unless he's really proficient at it.
Yeah,
but
who
I
knows?
Mean,
yeah.
Is there a demand? I mean, again, I haven't done YouTube research, but are there people who legitimately play and record 7-hour sessions of a flight sim?
Oh, yeah, there's legit, like, truck, Euro Truck Simulator, like, all that stuff is on
Twitch.
But,
like, is that a super niche community? Like, the only people who watch that are Euro Truck Simulator fanatics? Or, like, can you and I
so,
get...
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's our homework. Yeah. We'll report next week.
It, yeah.
We're going to watch a YouTube video of, like, a 6-hour Euro Truck Simulator.
I'm not going to do that.
What is exciting?
I think the reason why... I mean, yes, most of it is probably for comedic effect, but even the fact that those games are played at all, I think, is more a comment on how powerful the sharing and streaming community is right now.
Yeah.
Like, it is entertainment. Like, people are doing that, you know, as a way to, like, in a world where you didn't have, like, podcasts or Netflix or,
you know, streaming. Yeah, wake exactly. up! Wake up!
Stop it! I think having those kind of almost like meditative background experiences, if you had to, you know, if you had to focus 100% on this weird game, it wouldn't be as appealing. Or if you knew people couldn't watch you, like the audience, or the fact that it's a second screen type experience makes it more valuable.
I mean, this is literally Desert Bus, right?
It is, yeah.
The reason Desert Bus is a success is because you can watch it happen.
Yeah.
Would people donate money if you just promised to play Desert Bus?
No, yeah, they have to watch. Well, plus they want to watch you suffer. Like, they want to.
Yeah, they want to. That's the other reason people watch this stuff. Before we wrap up, I wanted to...
I have another question,
Yeah, okay, go for it.
Do you think the Oculus will change your mind about any of this? 3-dimensional immersive truck simulation.
I mean, it would, yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah. Until I get my other games to whet my Oculus appetite.
Right.
Because then why go back, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, maybe there's a certain fidelity of the simulation where, like, driving a car in Half-Life is not the same as driving a car in Gran Turismo.
So I don't... I just turned 30.
Yeah.
I don't drive now. I don't have my license. Right. I don't drive a car.
Legally
speaking, yeah. So just trains. Only trains. Well, trains, you know, there's no left or right. It's forward or stop.
That's true.
I can get that much.
But that's the thing. Like, so if you had the Oculus,
well, I could practice.
Would
what you're
it? No, no, no. Well, I mean, would it even make it like a plane or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, would Flight Simulator, the complexity involved in Flight Simulator, be more tempting than the arcadey feel of like an X-Wing or
yes,
something?
Yes, but again, only to step into the shoes for a moment of a life that's so vastly different than my own.
Right.
Like, I think I would probably do the same thing for basically any profession. Mm. Boating, soccer coach, like, it doesn't really matter. If I think that I can...
Legal clerk?
more paperwork. Well, I've done, you know, administrative assistant.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, any liberal arts major out of college.
Copy Machine Simulator 2015.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
I mean, like...
I'd be a fucking pro at that game. Are you kidding me?
I think that's the thing that the Oculus and other VR technologies like that, it seems like, have the potential to accelerate this trend.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So, One of the other things I want to touch upon is the mundane in regular games.
Okay.
So
normal games.
Normal.
Played by normal people. Normal. Where you shoot dudes in the head.
GTA. GTA, yeah. Right? Like.
Oh, man. I played a lot of tennis in that game.
There are people who enjoy driving.
Yeah.
Right? There are also people who hate driving.
Yeah.
What do those people think about driving in GTA?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, what I might argue is that driving in GTA is boring. Mm. That's why there's a fast travel system in the first place.
Yeah.
Alternatively, I might say, well, driving in GTA is exciting if you're being chased. Mm. If you're not being chased, it's exciting because what you're doing is not driving. Mm. You're trying to do a mockery of driving in what is essentially a broken game. It's easy to... Because you abstract so much in GTA, it actually becomes more difficult to drive as though you're a sane person.
Yeah.
So you don't drive as a sane person.
The rules are inspiring you to do
stuff. Imagine GTA 5, but when you're driving, it is fucking truck simulator. Like, you have to pay attention, you gotta shift, you gotta signal.
They had a couple people on the internet that did that, where, like, they tried to play GTA or any of these other open world games without breaking any rules.
And at that point, it's becoming...
I think it was Watch Dogs, actually.
At that point, surely it's now become Car Simulator.
Well, yeah, except...
Except you shoot people sometimes.
Well, and really poorly implemented because the roads aren't the right ratio to how big the cars are. Like, they're meant to be action roads, not real transportation simulations.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
Well, but that's the joy, though, right? Is you see all of the cracks in this fictional universe pop through.
I mean, I think we are coming to the distinction that I think... should be made, which is it's weird that we call them simulators because what they're actually trying to do is emulate. Whereas something like GTA is meant to simulate the feel of driving. It's not meant to explicitly emulate what it is to drive. You know, like
it's
the spirit of being in a car and then going really fast.
Yeah.
It's not the actual realistic physical modeling of what would happen if you launched yourself off of a hill.
Yeah. You know? And it's only trying to simulate it from a specific action-oriented perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there are other aspects of driving it doesn't try to simulate at all. Yeah. Like parallel parking.
Oh, man, I'm terrible at that in GTA.
And in real life.
Just e-brake.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The simulation versus emulation thing, I think... I mean, the cat's out of the bag. We can't call it, like, Farm Emulator 2014 or whatever. Yeah. But, like, I do feel like there's maybe something more than a semantic difference there.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
So one other example I would want to bring up is... doing the mundane when the rest is outlandish. Mm-hmm. Like, driving, for example, is exciting in GTA because it's so poorly built.
Ah, yes.
Pouring
yes.
orange juice for your son in heavy rain
is
super mundane.
Yep.
But it's exciting because it's mundane. Because in contrast to the world of video games that you're used to, you suddenly realize how important it is for this guy whose idea of being a good father is on the line with a little thing like how much orange juice you pour.
Mm-hmm.
That is fucking great mundanity in a video game.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think that is... it's used to juxtapose more than anything else, which is why it's effective. Like, it is not even really a good simulator. It's just mundane actions. But I that pops up a lot, like, in No More Heroes. Like, a lot of the side quests are, like, pick up trash on the side of the road. And then in the missions, you're, like, slicing people in two with a sword. Like, I mean, like, there's this weird thing of, like... you need to do these precise movements, but for a really boring purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you thinking about, is this even really that different than the stuff I'm doing in the mission? Or does it just look different?
Yeah, you've got to have like an end goal with that mundanity.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot there. I don't know if I've convinced us to play. Not going to revisit your lost love of flying Harrier jet. What else? Trains, not into taking the
trains.
514 pounds low. Like,
I would maybe do like a boating one,
boat simulator, like, yacht simulator. Go out to international waters.
I mean, again, it depends, right? Like, if I could be a cruise captain simulator, if I can worry about like, oops, I've accidentally food poisoned.
Oops, the norovirus.
Exactly. Now what do? I have to start executing the passengers. Oh, I'm putting the ship on full quarantine. Like, that's exciting.
Oh, the dead are rising.
Uh oh. There's only enough on the life raft for two.
Oh, the children are clamoring to get into it. Then they slam the door.
There's only room enough for me. Titanic simulator. Or the life pie simulator. Just you and the tiger.
I don't know. It makes me curious, but I don't know if it will... I don't know if it will completely draw me into the farming life.
I mean, yeah. How different is that from, like, Civilization, right? I mean, isn't... Or not Civ, but Sims.
Yeah.
Or no, SimCity, even better, right?
Well, Sims are very much a simulation rather than an emulation, because you're setting up actions that are abstracted. You're like Flirt. You don't do the mechanical actions of, like, tuck hair behind ear, like, gently caress cheek.
Say something awkward about how, didn't you go to our high school together, or did I see you at the mall last
week? Try to desperately ignore that you have terrible gas.
Yeah. Realize that everybody on Tinder is totally ignoring you.
I mean, again, you're just like, it's packaging up all those things into a single command, whereas, like, Dating Simulator 2014 would be stretching that stuff out.
Yeah, and it's funny because you can lock us in a bathroom and force them to, like, cower in a shit-filled room.
Yeah, exactly. Simulate. That's Saw Simulator 2015. I mean, like, there's a distinction, I think. There's a distinction.
We didn't even touch on dating simulators, by the way.
No. But, I mean, I think that is more at least trying to approximate emulation.
Yeah.
Because they try to give you a big enough tree that it is still unpredictable.
Except for there's, like, a consistent end goal. Like, our theory of Tinder dating is, I think, way more interesting than the vast majority of dating simulators, right?
Right. Two people in monogamous relationships trolling on Tinder is possibly different than, than what people who are actually using Tinder for its intended use would be doing.
Yes, I think so.
Well, find us on Tinder.
There you go,
give
everybody.
Them those sweet swipes. experiencepoints@gmail.com is where to reach us.
And we do our podcast simulator on experiencepoints.net. You can come and listen to us. You're listening to us right now.
Yeah.
We actually have done over 280 episodes. Yeah. You can check out our back catalog on iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review. It helps us find new listeners.
Yep.
Get them into that simulation game.
Yeah, enter the podcast simulation.
Is there let's end with maybe like one more simulation
game. What
would
you want to see?
Yeah, that you haven't seen yet that you would like.
Let's see. What haven't we talked about yet?
I haven't seen a simulator for losing your virginity. Whoa. It's kind of a joke, but I think it actually would be pretty good.
We didn't even touch on, like, Surgeon Simulator.
Oh, that's it true. Surgeon Simulator.
It would be like...
It'd be like that.
Octodad, like, basically. It's just like,
oh, where do I put my hands?
I mean, that would be... A waking nightmare.
Yeah, the nightmare of, like, oh, my socks are on. Do I bend over and take my socks off?
Yeah.
This is awkward.
I think a DMV simulator would be pretty solid.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Imagine the Kafka-esque, like, lines that you'd have to navigate.
Yeah.
And it would also, you could throw a little dating simulator in there and try to get to the front of the line.
Hey,
Mavis.
What do you mean
back in the line.
I'm pretty sure I made an appointment for 3 o'clock. Wink, wink.
Yeah, you've lost. You've lost a DMV simulator, and you've lost virginity simulators. Yeah,
there you go. At the same time. Both. Yeah. Have sex at the DMV.
All right, everyone. With that lovely image in your head, we will leave you until next week.
So long.
See you.